I'd like to have a good time with you this morning in this portion of Scripture. The God of the burning bush. Our text is found in the words of verse 2 of chapter 3. And the angel of the Lord appeared. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. As we come to this portion of Scripture, we find the Israelites had been in slavery in Egypt for 400 years under the cruelty of Pharaoh the king. And think of this, Israel had grown to a nation of 2 million people. My, when I think of the Jews going back today in unbelief, they're returning to the land that God promised them through Abraham. But just think, that God called Abram, and by the time of Moses, there were 2 million people in slavery in Egypt. What a nation. And there in their slavery and opposition, they cried out to the God of heaven for deliverance from this wicked king. And I want you to note that God heard the cries of his people through the calling of Moses, his chosen servant. Notice what it says there in verse 10, where the God of heaven said to Moses, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." You know, it's wonderful to know that God always has a man for the moment. He had a man in the 19th century by the name of D.L. Moody. He had a man in the 20th century by the name of Billy Graham. And there's no doubt on my mind, if the Lord tarries, he's got a man for the 21st century. He's going to raise up, and he's going to call back a people back to himself. Well, Moses was the child of divine providence with a destiny to fulfill. Most of us realize that he was born a Jewish slave, but through a miracle of God, he grew up a prince in the palace of Pharaoh. Later, discovering that he was born of Jewish parents, he turned down the treasures of Egypt, and he deliberately cast himself with the people of Israel to help defend them and to deliver them from their slavery. He was their champion, and he was their leader. Now, at first, Moses tried to do it in his own strength, like most of us. But he failed miserably. And you know what I'm talking about, and so did Moses. And his anger got the best of him, and he had to flee off into Midian, the land of Midian. And this is where God found him. And there in the desert, he settled down for the next 40 years. Until now, before us, we find that he's being confronted in the experience of the burning bush. And out of the bush God spoke. And Moses was never the same again. And for the next 40 years of his life, Moses became the great leader of Israel as he directed them through the wilderness towards the promised land of Canaan. I want us to take a look at this transforming experience that came to this man of God, that some have called the miracle of the unconsumed. It's interesting. It's quite a portion. And there are four things that I would like to call to your attention. Now let's have a good study. Consider first of all, in this experience of the burning bush, God's presence was revealed. You know, that's a question. How does God reveal himself? Well, we know how he did in Moses' day. I hear a lot of people saying, well, God spoke to me. Well, how does God speak to us? Audibly? Visibly? Or does he speak to us by his Spirit through his word? Well, that's an interesting question that we ought to develop, but God's presence was revealed to Moses. Now, we read about it in verse 2, and we read the words, And the angel of the Lord. Now notice that, angel of the Lord. You ever thought what the angel of the Lord was? Because many times in the Old Testament we read these words, the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord was the messenger of the Lord. Some say it was the pre-incarnate manifestation of Jesus upon the pages of the Old Testament. It could have well been, because he was the Son of God. But we know that the angel of the Lord was the servant of God, and sometimes he took the form of God. And this angel of the Lord appeared unto Moses in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. Now I want you to picture the scene. Moses was about his ordinary business, taking care of his sheep, and there under the shadow of the mountain, in the wilderness, he saw a shaggy thorn bush burning. And as Moses drew near, he began to realize that the flaming bush was not being consumed by the fire. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm sure that if we saw it, we would stop in our tracks to find out what's happening. And it was out of that flaming bush that the divine call of God came to Moses to lead God's oppressed and enslaved people out of Egypt. You see, my dear friend, and you need to get this down, the burning bush was the symbol of Jehovah's presence. God's purifying presence was often, on different occasions, revealed in the form of fire. Every time you come across fire in the Bible, especially in reference to God, it might be a manifestation that God wants to make. When he entered into a covenant relationship with Abraham, his presence was demonstrated by the lamp of fire that passed between the pieces of slain animal at Mount Sinai, in the giving of the law. God descended in the form of fire. Or let me ask you, what was it that guided Israel through the wilderness all of those years? It was a pillar of fire. Can you think of that day in the first and second chapters of the book of Acts? When the 120 were meeting in the upper room and they were waiting because Jesus told them to wait. And while they were waiting, and while they were praying there at Pentecost, these believers, it looked like flames of fire appeared and descended and settled upon them. And we have come to realize the truth that it was the descending presence of God coming to indwell them in the person and in the power of the Spirit of the living God. Dr. F.B. Meyer, that great Bible teacher of past years, was right when he wrote regarding the burning bush, "It is not said that the bush was in the fire, but the fire was in the bush." And then he goes on to say, "Clearly, therefore, we have a picture of God's presence in the midst of his despised and suffering people." Imagine, God condescended. God came down to make that shrub his throne. There was something that he was going to do. And now Moses sensed the ultimate reality of God as he spoke to him out of the burning bush. And now Moses knew, like you and I know today, that now God is knowable and God is reachable for mere mortals like you and me. We find out from this experience that God desires to communicate to each and every one of us. As a matter of fact, God even gave his name to Moses there in verse 14. Notice what he said, "I am that I am." And he repeats it in the same verse, "I am, I am." Now, though Moses was not given a complete revelation of God, that revelation was later unveiled when Jesus Christ appeared to fulfill the full meaning behind the words, "I am," And what did Jesus delineate when he lived upon this planet? I am the full manifestation of God. Well, let me give you a few. I am the way. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the water of life. I am the door of the sheep. I am the true vine. I am the resurrection and the life. Or we could pick up the words of John in the book of Revelation. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Now it was this presence with all of the meaning of those names behind them that appeared to Moses out of the burning bush. I am. He was all of that to Moses. And Moses needed to know that because he had a tremendous task ahead of him. And it was this presence who promised Moses in verse 12, certainly I am, will be with thee. And this was all that Moses needed. All of the miracles performed by him were the result of God's presence. All that was going to happen during those days in the wilderness was all because of God's presence. And it was this presence who was with Moses when he entered into the work to which God had called him. And you know this morning that we too, like Moses of old, have that same presence, that he's with us. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. The I am. And all that that means is with each and every one of us this morning. Let me ask you, will you permit, because it's up to you, will you permit this same presence to rekindle a flame within your life? A flame of love to serve God with all of your heart. I trust that you will. The presence of God was revealed. You know, that's the greatest thing that can ever happen in any church. To feel the presence of God. When you come to church on Sunday, you ought to feel the presence of God. When you sit in that Sunday school class, you ought to feel the presence of God. Every aspect of church life, when the choir sings, we ought to feel the presence of God. Because it's not about us, it's about Him. There's nothing greater in all of the world when people feel the presence of God. But let me lead you to a second thought. In the second place, in this experience of the burning bush, God's presence was not only revealed, but also God's purpose now was realized. And when you feel God's presence, it's not going to be long before you're going to know God's purpose. And it's going to be realized. Now, we read about it there in verses 7 and 8. Moses hears God saying to him, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. And I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Let's stop there for just a moment. Isn't that a wonderful statement? For I know their sorrows. Isn't that a marvelous truth to realize that God knows all about what you and I are going through? All of the suffering, all of the pain, all of the heartache. He knows. He knows. And he does know because he knows everything. The omniscience of God. And he knew all about what Israel was going through. They probably didn't think so. But he knew. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down. Now that's a wonderful fulfillment of the words, and Jesus came down from heaven to dwell among us. And here in the Old Testament, he came down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Now God was near. And the purpose of God was now realized by Moses. That God's purpose for Moses was this, that he was going to deliver his people from the land of Egypt and from the hand of Pharaoh. God had tried to do this to rescue the children of Israel 40 years earlier. But at that time, Moses tried to do it in his own strength. And he failed utterly. Because the problem was that there was too much of Moses and not enough of God. And now Moses realized that he had to get out of the way. He had to get off the throne. And permit God to work. In other words, literally, he must die to self. What he wanted to do, and the way that he wanted to get it done. And that's a hard thing. Most of us aren't willing to do that. We want to do it our way. And to allow God to accomplish his plans and his purpose through Moses. So now Moses became the dedicated instrument for fulfilling what God wanted to do. And you know, there's a lesson here for each and every one of us this morning. And it's this. And the quicker that we could realize this principle, the better off we're going to be. Don't wait toward the end of life to realize it. It's not what you do for God that really counts. It's what you and I permit God to do through us. See? Because it's not about you and it's not about me. And it's not how many sermons we preach or how many Bible studies we give. It's not about us. It's about allowing him to use us for his honor and for his glory. Because we need to be canceled out. And you know, most of us, we just get right in the way. All of the time. And we need to get off the throne. And God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, wants to reign from the throne of our lives and make it his dwelling place. He wants to rule over us, dominate us, and by his Holy Spirit work in us and through us to accomplish his purposes. And he was just waiting for Moses to realize that. And that question still remains to this very moment. Will you and I permit this Christ to reign over us and take possession of every aspect of our personality and become a living reality within us? He was just waiting, and he waited 40 years for Moses to come to that place. But you know, I want to say to you this morning, it wouldn't take 40 years, it wouldn't take 40 days, and it wouldn't take 40 weeks, and it wouldn't take 40 seconds. For God to gain an overwhelming victory in your life and my life, if he could just get us in a corner and drive home this truth, look, let me do it through you. Now there is another purpose here that we need to realize, and is found in the words of verse 2. Now notice what God, the angel, said. Behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now God was setting forth the truth that in the burning of that flaming bush, he was attempting to reveal to Moses a characteristic that was missing from his life. The fire in this burning bush did not waver and go out, notice, but continuously burned on. You know, when God first met Moses, he was totally consumed and completely dedicated on doing his will. But the fire in his life burned out. Faded out, his love cooled off. But as Moses stood watching this amazing spectacle of the blazing bush, it is though God is saying to him, Moses, if you will remember, if you will surrender fully to my will for your life, if you will persistently let me consume you like I'm doing that flaming bush, then you will be the man that I will use to lead my people out of Egypt. Now, he saw the bush right there, that God had complete possession of it. He consumed it. And he said, now that's what I want to do with you. And we all know what Moses did. He took God at his word by accepting the challenge put before him. And his record of accomplishment is beyond our comprehension. As a matter of fact, he's mentioned in God's Hall of Fame chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. And we read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, these words about this Old Testament patriot. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. Now don't forget those words. For he endured, as seeing him who is invincible. Notice the words. He endured. From that electrifying experience of the burning bush, Moses found the power through God's presence to see it through, which he didn't have before. He didn't have that enduring characteristic. It kept on burning, see. And God wants our lives to keep on burning, to keep the flame alive. Don't put out the fire. Don't put out the flame. Don't go backwards. Don't lose the fervency. He now had the perseverance and persistency to fulfill what God wanted him to accomplish. 40 years ago, he ran away. Now he's going to see it through. Now he's caught the purpose. Now, that's a truth for each and every one of us to learn this morning. Perhaps like Moses, you have not finished what God has called you to do. When the going got rough, you walked out. You promised to serve Christ in a certain position within the church. And then you got discouraged and you quit. Or perhaps your ideas were not accepted. They were criticized. So now you no longer make yourself available. You would be amazed at the pettiness. And I know of even some pettiness that's going on right now in this church. Because of a certain feeling that maybe a person can't get over. It's easy for all of a sudden for Satan to consume and bring under his power even a professed Christian. Instead of examining our motives and our hearts, and we blame others, or the result might be that we no longer have the joy of serving Jesus. We just can't sing that song in the fellowship of the church. Listen to me. There are inactive Christians throughout this country who once gloriously served the Lord but now have retired and returned to the sidelines only because their feelings have been hurt. And some even move on. It would be a life-changing experience for scores of these former workers for Christ if once again, like Moses of old, they would permit the God of the burning bush to rekindle their lost zeal and revive these weakened fires within their souls. If this were to happen in churches throughout New England and across America, hundreds of floundering Christians with a renewed steadfastness of resolve and purpose, which no problem or no person could ever hinder or hurt, would come rushing back into our churches and enlist them into the work of the kingdom. They've lost the flame. They've lost the zeal, the motivation. And you know, when that happens, that's a tragedy because they're missing out on the blessing. God's presence was revealed. God's purpose was realized. And that's a winning combination. With God's presence and God's purpose, you can shake a world with Jesus Christ. But let's go on. We've got a few more moments. In this experience of the burning bush, God's presence was not only revealed and God's purpose was not only realized, But I want you to know, now you got God's power was released. And I want to tell you something. There's nothing greater when the power of God is released within the heart of a church, and especially within the heart of a believer. God's power. Notice, again, reading the words of verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, what we need to realize is that this bush, before it burst into flames, was not any different than any other bush there in the desert. It's just like all of the ordinary bushes. And then all of a sudden, God possessed it. And now it was different. But the difference came in the power of God within the bush. It was the fire in the bush that made it different, as it became the medium that God used to demonstrate his power to Moses. Now, at this point, we find Moses is reluctant to undertake the task that God has set before him. He's not a ready servant. He's procrastinating. He's almost arguing with God. God is calling him, and he tries to excuse himself from the call of God as he offers different reasons why he was unequal to the task. All along, God's power is now going to be released, but he tries to excuse himself. But I want you to know that each time God met his procrastination with a promise. Notice verse 11. Moses declared that he had no ability. Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? You know, there's a lot of Christians like that. You know, who am I? I can't sing in the choir. I can't teach a class, and I can't. They get down the whole list. And God comes along, he says, no, you can't, but I can. Through you, if you're a willing servant. So here was his excuse. He had no ability. So God says, okay, I'll give you my presence. Now he's got God's presence. Then verse 13, Moses declared that he had no authority. He says, what shall I say unto them? Well, God says, I'll give you my name. And he does. In chapter 4, verse 1, Moses declared that he had no believability. They will not believe me, nor hearken to my voice. And God answered it with his power. In verse 10 of chapter 4, Moses declared that he had no eloquency. I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And God gave him his enablement. In each case, God pleads with Moses to look all of this time. Moses, look at the bush. I'm in the bush. Look in the bush. It is though God is saying, Moses, if I can do that with a bush, what do you think I can do with a life? If only given over totally to me. If I can consume that bush, what can I do through you? If you are only willing to give yourself totally over to my will. And in order to demonstrate this power to Moses, God in chapter 4, verse 2 says to him, chapter 4, verse 2, he asks him a question. What is that in thy hand? Moses answered, it's a rod. God told him to cast it to the ground, and instantly the rod became a serpent. And then he told Moses to pick it up, and instantly it became a rod again. And in this lesson, God showed Moses what he could do through him if he would only surrender his life to him. He could break the power of Pharaoh. He could release the people from the slavery of Egypt. And all Moses had to do was be bent and be broken by God to defeat Pharaoh and deliver his people Israel. Now listen, every one of us in this sanctuary have the possibilities are endless. The possibilities. What God could do through you would literally, he could turn the world upside down. The possibilities are just unlimited. The range of possibilities between everyone here in this sanctuary is unbelievable. But those possibilities can only be released through the power of God within us. You can't do it in your own strength, and neither can I. The inner potential that we possess cannot be developed by God unless we are willing to completely submit to his control. And that's what he's waiting for. And I believe that there are literally thousands of believers in our churches today who are living half-surrendered lives because they have never, like Moses of old, been willing to let themselves go and experience the blazing and the burning fire of God's Holy Spirit, thus kindling a sacred flame of dedicated living and devoted service within them. And God is just waiting to ignite that spark and make it a flame in some of our lives. And we're just holding back, you know. We don't want to get too close because, my, we don't want the world to think we're on fire for Jesus. Well, like Moses who had this burning bush experience, the possibilities for such a life is there for all of us. But it must be accepted. It must be developed. It must be nourished. And it's up to each and every one of us to allow that to happen. Let me give you one example. Just one example of what can happen when a person is willing to let go and what can be accomplished. Dr. Paul Rees, in a sermon on this portion of Scripture, gives a beautiful illustration of what I'm talking about. Dr. Rees's father was a man by the name of Seth Rees. Great Methodist preacher. As a matter of fact, he was founder of the Methodist Holiness Conference denomination. And he had a friend by the name of David, who at 40 years of age was just plodding along, as a storekeeper in a quiet little town in eastern Ohio. And this is the way Dr. Rees describes him. He had been converted in boyhood. He was a respected and active member of the Quaker Church in that community. His home, moreover, was frequently open for cottage prayer meetings. One evening, when such a service was being held, a visitor dropped in. He told the group about a camp meeting that he had recently attended in New York State, where Christians were being urged, much like I'm doing this morning in this message with you, to make an entire consecration of themselves to God and to claim by faith the infilling of the Holy Spirit for a life of holiness and power. Now, though this friend that visited this little cottage prayer meeting had not claimed that he had received the blessing himself, the report of what he witnessed became a powerful challenge to the merchant in whose home the cottage prayer meeting was being held, whose name was David. Dr. Rees writes, "It drove that man to the Bible. It drove him to his knees. It drove him to the confession of a deep lack in his own life." Still quoting Dr. Rees. "God met him in an experience of the Holy Spirit similar to that which came to the Christians on the day of Pentecost. The next Sunday, he met with his fellow churchmen in the Quaker meeting house, where it was customary to wait in silence for the Spirit of God to move someone to speak. The merchant, his name was David, full of the Holy Spirit, was soon on his feet, bearing testimony of what had taken place within his life. And with the coming of the Holy Spirit into this man's life came the release of God's power that we're talking about. Because the Holy Spirit is the power. Listen to the capstone of the stories told by Dr. Reese. The result was that layman, 40 years of age, left his shop to become a preacher and an extraordinary winner of souls. During the next 30 years, he was to travel over much of the nation in the ministry for Christ. He was to become an author of known mean ability and renown. He was to become singularly successful in leading young men and women into full-time service for God. Now get this. By the time of his death, it was known that more than 1,000 ministers and missionaries had received their call under the teaching and influence of this fire-baptized man. That's what happened to Moses. He chose it. He accepted it. And that's what God is wanting to do and waiting to do for some of us. The baptizing fire of God's Holy Spirit coming down and filling us to overflowing. Now, this was for David. At 40 years of age, this merchant, he became a minister. And what do we call that? We call that his burning bush. That's what it was. That was his burning bush. See? And immediately came to light all those hidden talents that God all of those years wanted so desperately to employ in his service. And all he needed was that touch. See? Now listen. God is waiting to do that in your life and my life. Each and every one of us, just to touch us and get us on fire and send us out as a flame that could literally change this world in the neighborhood in which you live. How many other possible preachers, missionaries, youth leaders, Christian workers like that David are waiting to be touched by the flame of God's holy fire? If only we, like Moses of old, would allow God's power to be released in our lives. Eh? Well, my time is up. Just one thought in closing. Look where we've traveled this morning. We found out in the experience of the burning bush, God's presence was not only revealed, and God's purpose was not only realized, and God's power was not only released, but now notice, God's plan was now reclaimed. 40 years earlier, this same Moses was called by God to rescue his people. But at that time, he failed. Now Moses is given a second opportunity. You know, I like that. God is the God of the second chance. Maybe the first time you blew it. Maybe somewhere along the line you really turn your back upon God. And you say to me, Pastor Reg, this morning, I wonder if God can still use me. I wonder if I can still be effective in his work. Sure he can. You can. Look what he did for Peter. Look what he did for John Mark. Look what he did for Demas. And he's waiting to do for you and I today. Now Moses is given another opportunity. Isn't that just like our God? My, it is. So after having listened to all of the objections given by Moses, why he was unable to undertake God's special calling and answering each time with his presence and with his power and with his promise and with his provision. Now Moses is sent on his way into Egypt to meet Pharaoh. Now we read about it in Exodus chapter 4, verses 18 through 19, 18 through 20. We're almost through. And Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren in Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, Go, return into Egypt. And Moses took his wife and his sons, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. Having seen the vision of the burning bush, having heard the voice of the infinite God, Moses was ready to act. He didn't turn from the vision or the voice like many of us. He responded to them. But I want you to know carefully that Moses was not fully prepared for God's service until he understood now the significance of God's words in verse 5 of chapter 3. And we'll close with this. Draw not near here. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And here at a place of holiness, God was asking Moses to be partaker of that holiness. Mystery beyond my comprehension, but it's there. But God's holiness was now to become a divine reality in Moses' life. Now he was linking himself up with the holiness of God. And he was now ready to go back and confront Pharaoh. Now what's the lesson in that as we close? It's this. God wants desperately to use us. But you can't have one foot in the world in a life of sin and the other foot in the life of the Christian service, you know? It's holy ground. There's a holiness here. Moses, I want you to realize, for me to use you, you've got to get a glimpse of my holiness. And you've got to partake. We that belong to the family of God, oh, that we would get a vision of our burning bush during these days of spiritual darkness. That we would experience our own personal Pentecost. When we permit the Spirit of the living God to ignite a spark within our hearts, consuming our sin and refining our hearts, thus enabling us to carry out God's mission for each and every one of us. Hey, what is God? He's the God of the burning bush. And he wants so, so much this morning to become a living reality in our lives. See, that's what preaching is all about. See? That's what it's all about. Challenging each and every one of us, including the preacher himself, to be what God wants us to be. Living realities of spiritual power during these days of great need. And you know what? The world is looking for some of us. It really is. Where you live, in your area, God is just waiting to turn that area upside down for himself. And he can do it through you and through me, if we're willing. Shall we pray? Heavenly